It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Good morning. How you doing this morning? I know you thought that maybe Ernie Hancock would be back today on the Declare Your Independence with Ernie Hancock show. That would be novel, wouldn't it? But no, you're stuck with me, your host Jet Lacey again, and Drew Phillips on the board. And we're going to have a really good day today. I think we're going to touch on a few subjects. We're going to get Drew to, you know, talk with us about a few things, especially 9/11 coming up, the 8th anniversary. Can you believe it? 8 years. How much has our country changed in the last 8 years? It's really been, I don't know. I don't know how else to describe it other than devastating. Our country has changed in such a wholesale manner that I don't even know how to describe it. It's wow. That's all I can say is wow. You know, and the thing is it sort of makes me feel like, well, you know, the terrorists, if it even was terrorists, which I largely probably don't believe, but I'm not the expert that Drew is, so we'll have Drew talk about that. I feel that whatever happened, whoever did this, won, okay? If it was the government and they wanted to bring about wholesale changes to how we go about our lives and the amounts of restrictions that they can put on our individual rights, then they won. And if it's the terrorists that wanted to bring down our way of doing things in this government, in this country, is living free lives and being free individuals to do as we see fit and live our lives as we see fit, then they won. So, but the thing is we are all responsible for what goes on in this country. And if you're not doing something, if you're not helping the situation, then as far as I'm concerned, you're part of the problem. And that's really why we're here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. And that's why we do things with Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. And, you know, that's why we're here to talk to you every single morning. All three or four of you, maybe, that might be out there listening to us. I don't know. I'm just kidding. We never know how many people are out there. It's probably way more. But I make jokes. I digress anyway, but we're talking a lot about that. We're going to talk about the absence of the war movement since Obama was elected. How come when George Bush was in office, the anti-war movement was absolutely out of control? They were camping outside of his house. And, you know, with Cindy Sheehan, we're actually going to play a clip with her again. She's actually camped out again in front where Obama himself is vacationing. But it's a much lonelier vigil now than it was back then. Where are the anti-war protesters? Well, it would seem to me that maybe anti-war effort was co-opted by the Democrats. More and more and more, you would think that's the case because no one is around. When Obama wants to do this war stuff, you know, there's nobody around. They're like, okay, well, if it's a Democratic war, then it must be a good war. We must be doing a good thing, even though that the wars have done nothing but expand. So anyway, I think we're going to have a really interesting show for you today. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It's interesting to me. So that's all I'm really concerned with. It's interesting to Drew. So anyway, we'll be right back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hellbent, hellbent for leather. Hellbent, hellbent for leather.
Good morning, America. My name is Jet Lacy, and I'm filling in for Ernest on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. And we are hell-bent for leather to get this word out of freedom and liberty and individual responsibility. And that's why we're here every single day, Monday through Friday, from 11 to 1 Central on the RBN Network. And we also post up the archive of the show on Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. That's Ernest Hancock's website, his flagship. And it's a website that I use daily, and I enjoy it very much. Before we get going on this anti-war stuff, which I find to be very, very interesting, I wanted to talk to you guys about something, someone that wrote something that he's a very controversial figure. And I'm talking about porn impresario Larry Flynt from Hustler Magazine. He actually wrote a column for the pretty much left mainstream blog, the Huffington Post. And I'm actually going to read it in its entirety because I think it's so compelling and so powerful about what he says. He basically says he is a champion. Whatever you believe about what he has done with his career, he's like another person that I'm going to talk about later, Muhammad Ali. He has given up so much for his fight for the right of free speech. I mean, he was shot and he is wheelchair bound because of his beliefs. And that just fired him up more. If you've never seen The People versus Larry Flynt, the movie, it's a little bit of it's a heavy duty movie, but my goodness. There's so many good things to say. And this is what he said. He called it Common Sense 2009. If you don't know, Common Sense was a book written by one of the founders, Thomas Paine, that talks about natural law, the laws that were given to us by our creator. And it was Thomas Paine, as one of the founders, he wrote such powerful things about just the basic rights of mankind by being born and created in the creator's image. But anyway, here we go with Larry Flynt's Common Sense 2009. The American government, which once we called our government, has been taken over by Wall Street, the mega corporations, and the super rich. They are the ones who decide our fate. It is this group of powerful elites, the people President Franklin Roosevelt called economic royalists, he should know he was one, who choose our elected officials. Indeed, our very form of government. Both Democrats and Republicans dance to the tune of their corporate masters. In America, corporations do not control the government. In America, corporations are the government. And Mussolini said corporations plus the government equals fascism, and he knows a little bit about fascism. That was just my aside. There was never more obvious than the Wall Street bailout, whereby the corporations that caused the collapse of our economy were rewarded with taxpayer dollars. So arrogant, so smug were they that, without a moment's hesitation, they took our money, yours and mine, to pay their executives multi-million dollar bonuses, something that they continue doing to this very day, to the tune of $23.7 trillion, mind you. That also was mine. They have no shame. They don't care what you and I think about them. Henry Kissinger, who is one of the top advisors to President Obama, refers to us as useless eaters. But can you say we have elected a candidate of change? To which I respond, do these words of President Obama sound like change? A culture of irresponsibility took root from Wall Street to Washington to Main Street. There it is, right there. We are Main Street. We must, according to our president, share the blame. He went on to say, and a regulatory regime basically crafted in the wake of the 20th century economic crisis, the Great Depression, was overwhelmed by the speed, scope, and sophistication of a 21st century global economy. This is nonsense. The reason Wall Street was able to game the system the way they did, knowing that they would become rich at the expense of the American people, oh yes, they most certainly knew that, was because the financial elite had bribed our legislators to roll back the protections enacted after the stock market crash of 1929. Congress gutted the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated commercial lending banks from investment banks, and passed the Commodities Futures Modernization Act, which allowed for their self-regulation with no oversight. The SEC subsequently revised its rules to allow for even less oversight, and we've all seen how well that worked out. To date, no serious legislation has been offered by the Obama administration to correct these problems. Instead, Obama wants to increase the oversight power of the Federal Reserve. Never mind that it already had a significant oversight power before our most recent economic meltdown, yet failed to take action. Never mind that the Fed is not a government agency, but a cartel of private bankers that cannot be held accountable by Washington. Whatever the Fed does with these supported new oversight powers will be behind closed doors. Obama's failure to act sends one message loud and clear. He cannot stand up to the powerful Wall Street interests that supply the bulk of his campaign money for the 2008 election. Nor, for that matter, can Congress for much the same reason. And I'm going to stop there. And this just basically goes into what we're saying, you know, with the anti-war movement. The anti-war movement is run by the military-industrial complex, something that President Eisenhower in his farewell address spoke about, and about the dangers of these huge corporations. And I know that I mentioned earlier this week that, you know, NBC is owned by GE, which is one of the largest industrial military complex companies in the whole world. Do you think that they're going to say or allow NBC to say anything to the contrary of what their bottom line is? I don't think so. But anyway, we're going to go to the interview on Russia Today. You know, I kind of was, you know, when I started listening to these Russia Today interviews, they're actually pretty compelling largely. But they actually do allow for people that want to speak their mind to speak freely, and regardless that they're a Russian news agency. So we're going to go to that clip right now with Cindy Sheehan, the anti-war protester that's having an awful lonely vigil in Massachusetts, where the president is now vacationing.
Where's America now with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? And how have these wars affected the country and the American people?
Well, we're still deeply mired in Iraq. Afghanistan is getting worse. We're increasing troops. We're increasing the missions. We're expanding it into the tribal regions of Pakistan. This year is the worst year for American troops in Afghanistan, but also for the people of Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's devastating. And where we are in America about it is, I don't think these wars barely register in the national psyche anymore, which is really unfortunate.
What are the numbers? How many Americans have lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan?
It's a combined total of over 5,000 now. This year in Afghanistan, the United States has lost about 300 troops. And, you know, people write to me all the time and say, well, that's nothing. You know, we lost, you know, X amount of troops on D-Day. Just one day in D-Day, we lost X amount of troops. Well, in my opinion, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, losing one soldier was too many.
How much of taxpayers' cash has been spent on these wars?
Basically, they say it's past $1 trillion right now, but there's been studies done by Nobel Prize-winning economists that say it's multi-trillions of dollars.
Do you think this is at all worth it, especially considering the state the economy is in right now?
These wars, occupations, illegal and immoral invasions of these countries in the Middle East, have not been worth one dime or one drop of blood.
In your work, you talk a lot about the U.S. military being used to spread colonial imperialism all over the world. Can you tell us more about that?
We are an empire. We're a military-industrial, corporate empire. Some analysts call our government a corporatocracy.
Barack Obama, on a number of occasions, has spoken about looking forward. You have compared this to putting blinders on. Why?
No American president has had to be held accountable for war crimes, for crimes against humanity, for international crimes against humanity. And to me, that's a tragedy because we have had presidents that have committed war crimes and international crimes against humanity. Specifically the Bush administration, and so they're not putting the full force of our law, our constitution, and basic common law to and international law to investigate and prosecute the crimes of the Bush administration. And I think it's because the Obama administration is carrying on what the Bush administration did. So how can you prosecute somebody for what you want to do and what you are doing? Because that would implicate you. And there can't be any healing in this country. There can't be any true change without accountability. And I'm a firm believer in that. So I think that it is putting blinders on, and it's ignoring the fact that millions of people are dead, wounded, displaced from their homes because of the crimes of the Bush administration. And not only would that have create the space for national healing, but it would also create the space for international healing, start to get some credibility back for America.
You know, we'll finish that up when we get right back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Time's going to a crawl. Early morning, September 11th. The steel crumbling frames. The scales of justice are decimated. Gaining nights of flames.
Yeah! We are back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. I'm having a good time today. I'm getting to feel more comfortable. I'm having fun with my man Drew on the board, and we're just going to have a good time today. So, and getting back to what we were talking about with the anti-war absence since Obama's election to president, just before that, I want to say that we are welcoming callers today on the RBN Network. The number is 1-800-313-9443. You know, this topic that we're talking about with war and 9/11 and then the flu shots in the second hour, it's those types of topics that really get people's minds working, and we have really strong opinions on these things. And Ernie sort of tends to not like calls because he's got the show that he wants to do kind of done in his head. I don't have a head. So I'm just a sort of a stream of consciousness, and we're just talking about these things. And I would like to hear from all of you. I'm interested, as a student of man, you know, self-styled, I like to hear what regular Americans have to say about these types of things, or in fact, anyone from around the world. I really enjoy where people are coming from. I like to understand where people are coming from. So if you do have something to say, please call in at 1-800-313-9443. Getting back to the subject with the Cindy Sheehan speech, we actually have had her in studio. We interviewed her, Ernie did, in our Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix studio, and we all filmed her, and it was really interesting. She's known very much so as a pretty leftist person, but after she was kind of done wrong by the Democratic Party, she's really had to take a long look at where she's coming from. And I think she's sort of coming more our way in understanding about individual rights as being the most important thing. But what she was talking about is that this war, these wars that we've had since 9/11, are not worth one dime or one drop of blood. And because they were started under false pretenses. And that's what she's basically saying. These wars aren't worth anything because they weren't started for the right reasons. Wars happen. That's human nature. And that's just the way it is. And she also speaks of no accountability from the, you know, any administration. From when, you know, when Harry Truman dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, all the way to today, there's never been anyone having any responsibility. And she also calls for the investigation of war crimes. But if an administration is participating in the same or worse type of things, do you think for 1 second they want those war crimes of their predecessor investigated? Absolutely not. We're going to go back and finish the rest of this. This is just a 7-minute segment. And we're going to talk about it at the end. We'll finish processing it. Okay, Drew?
You have referred to the Bush regime as criminal. What words would you use to describe the new American government?
Same word. They're continuing the policies. They're continuing the torture policies, spying on Americans without due process. Obama is on board with the theology of indefinite preventive detention. You know, that flies against centuries of law. And the war crimes in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. If they were war crimes when Bush was president, then they're war crimes when Obama is president.
In your work, you have said that America is living in apocalyptic times and that the American dream has actually turned into a nightmare. Is the situation really that bad?
I'm not saying that God's going to rain destruction down on America, but we are in a place where there's going to be a major paradigm shift. Is it going to be when the empire collapses, the economy collapses, we go into, you know, total collapse of the empire here? Or is it going to be a paradigm where this country brings our troops home, closes bases around the world, stops trying to be the policeman of the world, you know, reduces nuclear arms all over, starts working on healing the environment instead of destroying the environment? We could do that. So I think we're right now at a crossroads. Which road are we going to take? The road to destruction or the road to health? And, you know, I'm afraid if Americans don't wake up and create a movement for healthy change, then it's going to be the road to destruction.
Which road is it going to be? That's an excellent question that she poses. And if you don't think for 1 second that it has anything to do with you and everyone out there as an American citizen that leads this country in the direction in which you want it to, if you don't stand up for and have your voice heard, then you are part of the problem. If you are doing nothing, you have decided to make your choice. And all these things, whether you want to believe it or not, are being done in our name and with our money that is off of the sweat of our brow and the, you know, the blood of our efforts. And all these things that are being done in our name. And we're going to talk about 9/11 when we get back. We're going to have Drew talk with me because he's pretty much one of the heads of We Are Change Arizona. Here in Arizona. And We Are Change is a wonderful organization. We'll start talking about that when we get back here on the Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Everybody's conscious now and it's great. Yeah. Ain't nothing gonna stop us now, y'all, but the hate. Yeah. And wait, yeah. Hate can't stop us either. Cause knowledge reigns supreme. KRS the teacher. KRS
will come back most every day. You know, welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. I'm Jet Lacey. I'm filling in with my man, Drew Phillips. And we're going to talk a little bit about 9/11. And it's kind of interesting, like the, you know, as popular culture is definitely a reflection of what's going on it's sort of the zeitgeist, you know, especially music. The zeitgeist means the pulse on what's going on in any particular society at any given moment. And there is a lot of musical artists that are coming out with these words that are, you know, understanding of our true situation. In order to be an artist, a lot of people have to sort of look outside the box and think outside the box, and they often see the world in a different way than the mainstream contemporaries do. And I really believe KRS-One is definitely one of them. The other band, Testament, the heavy metal band that I played in the last one, they have their finger on the pulse of what is going on in America and the problems that we are having, and they're much deeper than what you'll find on the mainstream, or as Ernie calls it, lamestream media. I can't urge people enough to shut their televisions off. It's really, there's so many things that go on television. Like, you just, if you really start to listen, you hear these over and over, these themes that they really want to just put into your mind. And I can't remember who said it, but it probably was like Himmler, or I don't know. They said, if you tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And that's exactly what goes on in the mainstream media every day. All of these problems are manufactured from what we're talking about in the second hour, is the vaccines and the healthcare scares. These were manufactured, including at the August break. They were hoping that we would, you know, by bringing this healthcare to the forefront, that they would be able to sway the public's opinion. And it backfired on them 100%. They have received such, you know, pushback from the public. And that should be an example to all of you, that if you really feel strongly about something, if you see something that is unfair in your world, it is your right, it is your duty to do something about it. And I'm calling on every single one of you to stand up for yourself and stand up for your families. If you don't stand up for yourself, for God's sake, stand up for your families. And what we're going to be talking about today is the activism that goes along with 9/11. You know, the facts of 9/11 are out there. The 9/11 Commission report, there's all these different things with the thermite, and, you know, they've said that a missile might hit the Pentagon. There's just a whole lot of fishy things going on, like the fact that there was, you know, an exercise about the exact same thing with the government going on at the exact same time as what really happened. It was actually a stand down. And I'm not going to go over these facts. This has been going on. This is 8 years old now. Those facts are out there if you so desire to go look at them for yourself, as opposed to digesting the slop that is fed to us on a day-by-day basis. And I would like to welcome Drew Phillips here. He's one of the, you know, guys from We Are Change Arizona, and he puts out some really interesting videos. He's very talented in the multimedia world, and he's got a few things that he'd like to talk about with regard to the activism of 9/11. Good morning, Drew.
Morning, Jed. How you doing?
Good, man. Well, so what's on your mind?
Oh, not much. We're here in September. It's already the second day, and the 11th, the 8th anniversary is coming up, and Freedom's Phoenix, of course, is going to be promoting some activism this month, and we're doing our DVD burning thing, and I just wanted to do maybe a little quick housekeeping and let all our Arizona listeners know about some of the activism that's going on down at the shop. But I just have to agree, going back to the Cindy Sheehan piece, someone asked me, you know, well, along the same lines of the article and the piece we played, where is the anti-war movement? And I only threw it back at him and said, well, where are you? The anti-war movement is still there. It's just people have chosen not to participate anymore for some reason. And I still choose to participate, and I think others should. And I think it's a worthwhile cause to ask for an end to these illegal occupations. But going along the theme of activism, September 11th is right around the corner, and in Arizona, we're certainly going to pay our respects and do a little activism here. Starting this weekend, in fact, Friday night is the first Friday's Art Walk, a art walk in downtown Phoenix that we've attended for off and on and consistently for the last few years with the Ron Paul campaign and with We Are Change Arizona and the 9/11 Phoenix Truth Movement.
the camera fraud people. We have speed cameras here, so we do a lot of things in conjunction with them.
Camera fraud. We do basically First Fridays is our monthly outlet to talk to the people and go to a place that's heavily populated with people from all over the valley. And we go with a number of different pieces of information, literature, different libertarian literature that we have here at the shop, DVDs, America, Freedom, Fascism, and Obama Deception, of course. We've been burning a lot of 9/11-related DVDs, Republic Magazine, and different things of that nature that we take down there and just talk to people and get an idea of, you know, where they're coming from and maybe give them some information that's relevant to them. And so we'll be doing that this Friday, and then this Saturday we've got a potluck party at the shop here. We have these about every other week where we show a film and have everyone come down and bring some soda pop and some fried chicken or whatever they want to bring, and we just have a community type event. And along with that, we'll be doing our DVD stuffing, and we'll be burning DVDs for different 9/11 DVDs that we're going to be passing out this month. And then on September 11th and the 12th, that Friday and that Saturday, we'll be doing some stuff down in Tempe Town Lake. There's a vigil memorial service. It's been slated to be somewhat pro-military, but we see it as pro-American, and we have every right to go down there and entertain the dialect and have discussion with people and pass out some free DVDs and different information. So we'll be doing that on the actual 11th and on the 12th, that Saturday. And then there's a lot of things going on in New York, and there's a fundraising effort, of course, for the victims and the victims' family members and the heroes, the first responders. So there's a lot of things surrounding 9/11. I think this audience is probably pretty educated to a lot of what's going on with 9/11 and the different facts and the different stories. And I just go back to the 9/11 Commission report, and the government's put out their story. And I and many others and people more qualified than myself can suggest that that report is full of a lot of holes. And the burden of proof then becomes onto the government for them to prove that what they're saying is true. And I don't buy what they're saying. And I think it's important to talk to other people about it. And we want to help facilitate sharing that information with other activists here in Phoenix.
Yeah, and not just Phoenix. I tell you how I joined the activism world is I sort of had an interest, and I found on meetup.com. And on meetup.com, I found the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty, and that's how I started. I didn't even participate for a couple of months. I just sort of looked at the type of events. If you sign up, you end up getting emails. And if you sign up, when you get the emails, you can see what kind of events. You know, it's always a process. People tend to not jump in to these activism things. The first day they sign up for these, you know, the meetup, you look at what type of events the groups are holding. And I saw the types of events that the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty in Phoenix was holding. And I was like, well, this is sort of something that I would like to be involved in. And these types of meetup is just not Phoenix. It's nationwide, worldwide, right?
And yep. Absolutely. And, you know, We Are Change and the different 9/11 truth groups around the country have been at this for a number of years, talking about this particular issue and holding events, having speakers come to town. And, of course, having, you know, just regular street actions or going out and talking to people at different events. And especially on the anniversary, it's a big day and it's important to, at least stand up. And if this issue is important to you, I think it's really important for you to stand out on the street corner or just have conversations with your friends and make sure that this information and this discussion isn't, gone by the wayside on this, in this month where we, we're here 8 years later and this conversation still needs to be had. So I'm glad that many activists choose to take this month to go out. And so just to make sure I follow up with all the housekeeping, we're going to be doing our thing here in Arizona, and you're more than welcome to go to freedomsphoenix.com right now. And the information, what we've already planned and some other stuff that we want to plan is up there and available for anyone in Arizona if they want to participate in the different events that we're setting up here in Phoenix. But yeah, it goes on all around the country in every town. And in New York, there's a big presence and people come out, and there's a number of events lined up in New York. I don't know, maybe you're hearing this near New York and you could go out to the events they're holding that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, different conference activism training sessions, and then of course street actions. And that's really, to me, that's that's the kind of activism I'm into. I want to talk to people one-on-one, and that's what the people who go to New York get to do. They get to talk to the general public on the street and let them know their views and give them some information, and that's what we try to do here in Phoenix, especially at this First Friday's event and different events that we go to, is just try to talk to people and let them know our concerns and give them some information.
You told me before while we were preparing for the show that you were invited to actually go to New York this year.
I got a buddy in New York and a couple other friends, and they're trying to bug me to go out there, and I just might, and if I found a cheap plane ticket, but we'll see today, and I don't know.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, that's part of activism, and especially the We Are Change. I think they are a great organization, because it goes back to what I was talking about yesterday with you are a journalist. You are a journalist if you say you are. You know, that's the thing. Like Luke Radowski, who created all this stuff, he was pissed off about 9/11 and the glaring discrepancies that were going on within the government and the stories that were being told. And this guy lives in New York City, and he sees what's going on down in at Ground Zero, and then he hears what's happening on the news, and then he starts to see the first responders getting ill, like violently ill. Like so many of them have died. I don't know how many, but they have absolutely refused to provide any manner of health care for these people that came out of the goodness of their heart, or if it was their job. The first responders, people came from all over the country. They got in a car and drove from all corners of the country to help. And these people are dying off in droves from what they breathed in. And they said, you know, the government came out and said that the air is safe. And it is. It obviously was not true. Correct, sir?
Absolutely. And these are the people that don't that we need to advocate for. You know, it's all in how you frame the argument, and that's what I say to a lot of people, is that I'm here to support the victims and the victims' families, because they're the ones who have no closure. They're the ones that still have questions, and the government didn't answer them. And we should all know that governments, you know, they're not in the business of answering questions or explaining themselves to anybody. So these are the people that have questions and need closure in their lives, and we should advocate for them and oppose the man and say, you know, if you're not guilty, you're obviously covering something up. And I mean, we could go a lot further with it. I know the people listening probably know more than, but let's advocate for these people, because these are the people that this event changed the world. It's the post 9/11 world. It changed a lot of things. And if we get back to the heart of that issue and we educate people onto what, you know, we feel happened, or some of the contradictions in the government story, being in a more educated and enlightened society, we're going to understand better how this government is really taking it to us.
That's another thing I really like about We Are Change. They just want to talk about the contradictions. They want to talk about the glaring contradictions between the facts versus the, you know, what we've been spoon-fed for these last 8 years. And they're not really out to attack anyone. They're not saying anything other than, hey, let's take a good long look at this. Let's take a good hard look at the facts versus what's actually been spoon-fed to us, and talk about the differences, talk about the discrepancies. Again, like you said, what do you say to that, sir?
Well, along the lines of We Are Change, the reason that I got involved with the We Are Change group and wanted to express Arizona's participation in it is that it's a leaderless resistance organization, and it's cutting to the heart of the matter. And this idea of citizen journalism, this idea that I can put my camera in your face and ask you a tough question, and you can either answer me or not, but I'm going to put it up on YouTube for the world to see. And Luke Radowski and a number of other great members of the group and chapters all across the country have put some interesting statements by politicians on the record. And that's what's so important, is that these politicians don't just get to say, if you've ever written your congressman or gone into their office, it's a private conversation. And the world doesn't get to hear what that private conversation was. Well, let's just ask them point blank in the halls of Congress, on the street, at a rally, wherever they are. And let's ask them, put it on tape, put it on the record, put it on YouTube, and allow others to you know, get that information, that YouTube clip, and determine, you know, interpret it how they choose. And that's something that, you know, along with the lines of these town halls and some of the stuff that's going on now with the Tea Party movements, that these Tea Party goers understand this concept of YouTube. Put it on the record.
I have a question. Is We Are Change, is activism limited to 9/11 issues?
Not at all. And there's activism, We Are Change groups around the country who have gotten into issues such as fluoride. We Are Change Colorado is very involved with the vaccine stuff that's coming on that we're going to talk about in the second hour. And it's, you know, I try to, people, you know, they say, oh, you're the guy from We Are Change Arizona. And I said, well, no, it's a statement. We are change. It's a mentality. It's a way of life. It's acknowledging that I am the change I want to see in the world. It comes from that famous Gandhi quote, and live it, you know, ask it, be it. And wherever you go, if you run into politicians, if you interact with activists and different groups and different, you know, anti-war coalitions and, you know, the Tea Party movement and Ron Paul people, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world and do the things that you want to bring to light. And get aggressive and get in your politician's face is also one of the mantras of We Are Change. But it's not exclusive to 9/11. And like I said, a number of groups have taken on other issues and tried to expose them and bring them to light and use the same tools, the citizens' journalism, the YouTube stuff, and posting to websites and writing articles. And so it's whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. It's just like Freedom's Phoenix. It's largely leaderless. Leaderless doesn't mean that what it's been bastardized to be. Leaderless just means it's one person acting on their own behalf to try to better society. And we'll talk more about that when we get back here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. I'm Jet Lacy sitting in for Ernie with Drew Phillips, and we'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hey, welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. My name's Jet Lacy. I'm sitting in. Hopefully this is the last day. I'm a little more comfortable behind the the booth back there where Drew is today. I'm just getting my feet wet on this, but I'm having a great time. I really enjoy sharing my thoughts and everything with people out there more than I even thought I would. But we're still talking about the 9/11 situation and activism. It's a global thing. Like activism, again, when the government fears the people, it's liberty. And when the people fear the government, it's tyranny. And largely what I see going on in this country, and I was also, you know, a party to this for a very long time. I've been afraid of my government for a long time, and I don't want to be afraid anymore. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm living my life with no fear. And that's another, you know, sort of a thing that we're working on down here on the Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com, at the studios here, the beautiful studios. We're starting this program. There's always something new, and there's always something that someone has an idea. We're talking about having no fear. We did It's Not My Debt. We had little babies. We actually had billboard campaigns about It's Not My Debt, and it really isn't. These people that aren't even born, these young children, these infants, people that haven't even been conceived yet, are going to be responsible for this, again, $23.7 trillion debt. That's two times what every single man, woman, child corporation produces in the United States in a year, for 2 years. And that's what we've given to the bankers for free. And it's coming out of your blood, sweat, and tears. But anyway, we're coming to bet. And if you don't get active, these types of things are going to keep going on. Everybody has a voice. It's probably the most underused, most powerful weapon there is on earth, the human voice. Right, Drew?
Absolutely. I prefer to talk to people. That's the kind of activism I'm into. I just want to talk to people, and as a friend of mine used to say, we need to have this conversation. We need to talk about where we are, and if the debt is, you know, important to you and your children being enslaved into this debt, then, you know, I think that's where a lot of the Tea Party movement came from. And if that's your issue, run with it. Pick an issue and run with it. And 9/11 was a big issue to me. I'd been kind of aware of how, you know, we were getting the shaft from government and how things were going awry. And I saw the 9/11 movement rise up, and 4 years ago I said I want to be a part of that, and I want to go voice my opinion and express myself. And stand, if that means standing on the corner or passing out a DVD or just having a conversation with someone, that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I started doing. And here we are 8 years later, and it's still not futile to do the same things. I think that's what Cindy Sheehan was saying, is I know this next administration is just as corrupt as the one before, and I'm going to stand up against it. And it was, I think, sad to see that a lot of people turned their backs on her, or weren't interested in the anti-war movement, or didn't want to participate in her most recent endeavor. And there were people that did support her, but, you know, I was reading an article the other day that said that a lot of the peace and justice, you know, liberal-leaning and anti-war groups didn't support it, didn't even bother to send out an email announcement.
Like, I'm not trying to bag anybody, but Code Pink was like that. We called them ourselves.
If you don't want to go, that's fine. But, you know, if your organization or your email list or your whatever loose affiliation of has been advocating for this long enough, send out an email. It was only the Green Party and antiwar.com that even bothered. Where are the rest of these people?
Well, we'll be back. I don't think we're quite done with what we're talking about. We're going to get to the vaccine stuff a little bit later. I think I'm going to keep Drew over a little bit longer, but we will be right back in just a minute's time on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm your host, Jet Lacy, here with Drew Phillips. We'll see you in a minute.